Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
You know, in this case, Tony, the number one piece of evidence that I think are the ace that the prosecution is holding are these five confessions that, again, weren't to law enforcement. They were recorded on prison, maximum security prison house phones.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be, for me, I just want to hear those. I want to see if he is sounding in his right mind or delirious.
Yeah. I'm assuming we're going to hear those in court. Obviously, that, you know, could be up for debate if in fact it doesn't necessarily play to the prosecution, because it doesn't sound like someone's in their right mind. Are we going to hear that, or could it? I mean, could that even be used as a defense for Richard Allen? I mean, it seems like an interesting one to pull up a confession in court to use to your defense, but could that actually happen? If in fact it does sound like there's something very mentally wrong going on with Richard Allen.
Well, I think they'll come in because they were obtained legally. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll be able to fight that. It'll be the skew that each side paints of it. You know, obviously the prosecution is going to say, well, Al, listen, it's in his own words. He's talking to his mom and his wife. And the defense is going to say, yeah, after being locked up in a maximum security prison, you know, from CVS counter and, you know, a middle class home, normal life to being in a maximum security penitentiary, he lost his mind. He was eating paper. I mean, all you have to do is look at pictures of Richard Allen and know his physical state was just terrible. And that affects mental state. So I'll be very interested to see and hear those conversations and the arguments made about them. I think it's interesting, though, I believe they withdrew the motion for the records, his medical records.
They did. Prosecutor Nick McClelland filed a motion to withdraw his most recent request for Richard Allen's mental health records. That would be because he got access to them when he shouldn't have had access to them the way that they were filed. But somehow he got access to them and then like, oh, I'm going to take these back. I don't need them. I shouldn't have even known that these existed like this. You can have them back. That I found rather interesting, just kind of more bizarreness going on behind the curtain of Delphi. How much do you think mental health is going to play a role in this trial, whether it be for the defense or the prosecution of Richard Allen?
I think it's going to play a huge role as it pertains to those confessions. I think that is going to be the crux of which the defense is going to try to, you know, bring forth that, listen, these confessions aren't real confessions. They're, you know, words of a madman who was driven mad because of his conditions. I think that's going to be, you know, they're going to have to convince a jury of that, because depending on what's said on them, they could be quite damning. If he provides information or details that either weren't known or that fall in line with the crime scene photos, which at least at that point, no one saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be interesting. I shouldn't say that, because I guess he would have seen them as a part of discovery. But remember, there were all sorts of issues with his defense attorneys even being able to pass documents to him to view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting how much he has even been able to help in his own defense.
It will. The interview that was done with the attorney that his name escapes me at this second, but he was the one who was basically kind of the fill-in between when Rossi and Baldwin were kicked off the case. Then you had the other one come in, and his testimony, his experience with Richard Allen in that maximum security prison, literally having to sit outside his door and try to communicate through a little hole. I think that in itself was extremely telling of how this is all going.
Yeah, it was terrible. And, you know, having to keep his distance and the passing of documents. I don't know how a person can possibly help in their own defense if they can't read their documents and aren't seeing their attorneys on a very, very regular basis. We don't even know how much Rossi and Baldwin have been able to see him.
No.
But they want to move forward. I think it's a brilliant move on their part because it couldn't be denied by the judge. And moreover, now everything is sped up. She has to make decisions regarding the Franks hearing and all this other motions that have been filed. So it was pretty brilliant, I think, to light a fire under it.
How much of a slam dunk case is it when he turns around and eventually sues the state? Because...
Oh my gosh. Well, it depends. I mean, you know, I always, in this situation, I want to know what's always bothered me is what happened that got their spotlight back on Richard Allen. I just think there's something that we're not seeing that has to do with him either confessing to somebody or some nugget like that, mm-hmm. that now, you know, that they knew to go back to him.
Sure.
And I'm not buying the whole thing. Well, you know, we reviewed again. No, I'm not buying that. There was something stronger than that that led them to reinvestigate him, I believe.
Yeah. Just what is that? And that may be a bombshell that we find out during the trial, or it may be like, really? This is what has kept you going? This, really? There's no, I think, length to how strange this case can get, and there's still a lot of time to come in it.
Yeah, I agree, Tony. And all that said, whether he's guilty or whether he's innocent, the way he's been treated throughout this process is diabolical.
Yeah.
And should never happen in our criminal justice systems. I keep asking via Twitter, via social media, via mainstream media, find one more case for me where somebody was put in a maximum security prison pre-conviction unless they did something in jail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, threaten somebody's life,
yeah.
or escaped or something like that. Find that case for me. I'm still waiting.
Yeah. You will be waiting forever. This is going to be the one that people talk about.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.